and not being able to bring my corgi. Anyway, they promised me a horse. So that was really a big thing for me. I had a fall off that horse and I had an out-of-body experience. And I went to another realm. I mean, I didn't know I was dead to start with. It was when they were putting the new curbing in, little orange huts that the road workers had their lunch in. It was a windy day and one of the plastic bags flew out of the tent over the horse's head and she reared. She would never have bucked me off, but she reared in fright. And I fell and hit my head. I had a crash helmet on, but underneath my crash helmet on the sharp edge of the concrete curbing. And with that, they ran off to get local farm to get the ambulance and da-da-da-da. Anyway, once I realised I was dead, the only thing that I could think of was I wouldn't see my dear brother again from Vancouver. So with that thought, I arrived in the front room of their home and there was a lovely scene. My sister-in-law is quite a famous artist and she was cooking dinner and painting at the same time. And my brother had one baby in those little bouncinet things that you used to push with your feet and a high chair, and he was feeding one, da 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 da.
So you witnessed all this?
I witnessed all this.
And where were they actually? What country were they in?
In Canada.
They were in Canada at that time?
At that time, good. Yes. And so I was there, and I thought, they don't even
see me.
See me. I was most upset. Yes. Anyway, but once I realised that he was really happy, that was really all I needed. And so then I was back into my body again and in the ambulance on the way to hospital.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth.
In the studio this morning, I have Velma Wright, known as Velma Wright, and she has been healing in New Zealand for the last 50 years. And the healing that she has been involved in has been what I'd call natural healing. And you have a wonderful story to tell. Thank you for coming in and wanting to share with New Zealanders, Val.
Thank you, Tim, for inviting me.
Val, 50 years of healing. Wow, that's a long time. Devoting yourself to assist people to bring their bodies into alignment, make them well again. Can you just tell us a little bit about how you came into wanting to be a healer?
My initial passion was to be a nurse, and I started my nursing training in Auckland here in the early 60s. And during that time, my mother became critically ill as a result of a contaminated vaccine, we're told. And I left nursing to nurse her. So I nursed her for 4 years. It was a horrendous death. And that was why I didn't continue on with my nursing career. But in that time, we took her to a gentleman called Murdoch Ross, who many of your listeners probably have heard of in the past. He was the first trained naturopath and osteopath in New Zealand, American trained. And he had a son also, Craig Ross, who had a chiropractic clinic in Kay Road. And Murdoch Ross was an absolutely wonderful gentleman. He was in his 80s, fit as a trout. And I worked for him. I became his. We'd taken my mother to see him. Unfortunately, he made her more comfortable, but he wasn't able to extend her lifetime. But I loved this man so much. He was just so a beautiful guy. And his nurse left to get married. So I took her job and became his practice nurse. So I worked for him for many years. And loved every minute of it and saw some wonderful healings. I mean, we can't use the word cure, but we saw the most miraculous healings while I was working with him.
So this was using colour, the colours of a rainbow.
He used the colours of the rainbow for the diagnostics. So he had his little pendulum thing that he swung around and I sat and wrote down the numbers for him. And each person, he went through all the colours, holding the colour, this little rod would swing around. And he'd give me the number and I would write it down. So we had a whole dossier of numbers for each person, which was the frequencies that they were showing. And the colours then were put on, the colours that were relevant for their healing were put onto little copper trays on this machine, and they sat there with the bands around their wrist and sat there sometimes for 1 or 2 hours and had the frequencies of those colours absorbed into their system.
It's quite fascinating because my sister, who was an asthmatic, went to a colour man in Rotorua. And this was around about 1957, 58.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, was quite a unique understanding of what light can do, because that's all colour is full spectrum.
Yes.
And really, it hasn't taken on so much in New Zealand, whereas you can have a look at many modalities today, but the colour man or the colour person or the colour lady is not catered for anymore.
Not so much, no. And I think probably with new technologies and things, those frequencies have been administered in different ways, which I can talk to you about a little bit. But I just loved the colour. And I still have my suitcase with all my coloured cottons and everything in it. I've carried it around the world with me. And I still love the colour therapy. Yeah.
This is excellent. We must always remember that sunlight is colour. Just quickly, I was with some friends and we used to make big prisms of thick, transparent plastic and glued all together, which were filled up with water. And we used to take them outside and they would be a foot long and about 6 inches deep, and we used to stand out in the sun and shine these colour bands or colour rays right into the house where we were standing looking at the colours. We had a blinding flash of indigo and blue and violet, and it really seared into our brains, because at night time we could actually close our eyes and still see the flash. We were over the top. But it just reminded me that this is such a wonderful medium for healing, so thank you
absolutely.
And from there?
Well, just back to the colour again, I saw people, and one was a baby, that had an allergy to aluminium, and babies born in hospitals in New Zealand, all their clothing and everything, their nappies, was all sterilised in aluminium, great big aluminium pots. They were boiled up, and in those days, aluminium autoclaves, I think they were called, but it was all in aluminium. And this baby had such an allergy to aluminium, which nobody knew what the problem was, of course. And the baby virtually had no skin. It was leaking fluid from every pore of its body. And Murdoch Ross diagnosed that aluminium allergy just by using colour. And as soon as he did that, then he went off home to his home in St. Helier's and came back with a big copper scuttle for the parents to boil up, and said, don't ever let them near aluminium again. And they boiled up this baby's nappies and everything in this big copper fish scuttle.
Oh, I see, yes.
Oh, and the other thing was, aluminium saucepans, you see, were used in those days. So he sent them across the road. This was in Newmarket, on the end of Remuera Road there, and to the hardware store, and got enamel pots to cook the baby's food in, and then they used them all the time, of course, until stainless steel became available. But in those days, we didn't have anything, only aluminium.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that we have progressed.
Yes.
And seen the damage is done.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yes. And from there, where did you go?
Well, from there, I did a little jaunty on the buses, you know, the big buses that had a hostess that went between Auckland and Wellington. I did that for a few months just as a holiday, really. And I loved it.
Oh, too right.
I absolutely loved it.
People are lovely, really, on a bus those days too. I think they were called landliners.
And all on holiday and relaxed and just lovely to talk. And, you know, it was a lovely thing to do. So I did that for a few months and loved every minute of it. And from there, I married and had a couple of kids. And I started up a little wee clinic in my house, doing reflexology and iridology. I did that at home as a type of little clinic, and that was really good. Loved that. And while my kids were at school, it was a great way to be able to do a bit of this healing work and still be a mother. And then I had a clinic in Remuera. We bought a health food shop in Remuera, and it had a big space above, with which we made into three clinics, and had a few of the guys from the naturopathic college came there. We had them have a clinic there just to get them started. And we had a great setup there. It was wonderful. So we had the health food shop down below and three clinics up above. And that was good fun. And
always good to have that connection of a health food shop too, isn't
it? Yes, it was. It was. It was great. Then we spent the evenings packing soya beans and all of that, so filling the shelves of the shop. Yeah. But no, that was a nice thing to do. And then from there, we bought a property in Paraquai, which had the hot mineral water, and it was one of the only ones left in Paraquai that hadn't burnt down over the years. You know, they were the places to go in the 60s and 70s where people went on holiday and they went to the spa. And there were several big, beautiful old buildings in Paraquai in those days that had the hot mineral water. But this was the last one that was left. And we bought it with the view of making it into a health spa. And we did that, and we had people come as residents. We had five little units at the back where people could come and bring a caregiver if they were very sick and couldn't look after themselves. They brought their caregiver, but we fed them all the beautiful vegetarian food, and we had wonderful cooks, and they had to know that to do that job, they needed to be happy to have people in the kitchen with them so that they could teach them how to sprout their sprouts and make their juices and do all that sort of thing. And then we always ate together. There was usually 12 of us. And we ate, well, sometimes more, but we ate together, and that was a great time to discuss diet and food preparation. So when they went home after their 21-day stay, they were prepared to be able to make their own food regardless of the family. They were trained in good nutrition.
Because I went to Paraquai Springs in the late 60s.
Did you?
Oh, yes. For New Zealand to have so many natural hot springs bubbling up out of the ground.
It was bubbling out of the ground. Yes, yes, absolutely bubbling out of the ground. And hot, too hot. So we had to fill the spas with water, and, you know, we cleaned them out every day, and so we emptied them completely, cleaned them down, and then we'd fill them a third full with the water straight out of the bore. So it was 52 degrees, I think, the water when it came out of the bore. So we had to leave that water a third full overnight. And then we'd top them up in the morning, and then they would be at the right temperature. So, I mean, they were thermostated, but we had to have a third cold water because the water was too hot.
These are the unique ways of attending to our body needs and health needs, is that nature can provide.
Mm-hmm. We had an elderly gentleman there that had been to all the spas everywhere, and he said that the water in Paraquai healed his arthritis, and he became the front man. He was quite elderly for the spa. He was our best advert. He told everybody that this had healed him, you know, the water, the mineral water had healed him. It wasn't anything to do with me. It was the mineral water.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. So you carried on in this healing mode all the time. I mean, there was, you were here for world service in many ways, weren't you? You were here to help people just come into alignment with their true self.
Well, I used to say to whoever we talk to,
yes,
that if I need to know something, that bring it to me. And that happened. So whenever I needed a new modality or something, I always got what I needed. The right person would come into my life or whatever would happen. And in 1981, while I was still at Paraquai, we had these two American women came to stay. Their intentions weren't actually pure, but they did teach me about this new technology, which in those days, of course, was analog. It wasn't computerized. And those machines were called EAV, electroacupuncture, according to Boll. Boll was the professor in Germany who devised the method of being able to measure human frequency and then provide the frequencies either by homeopathics or whatever on this machine. So it was quite manually done. But Professor Voll made the first EAV machine in 1958. So then in 2008, was 50 years, and they decided that they wanted to make a new edition. And they hadn't computerized at that time, which was quite late for computerizing, really. But they got the top 10 techno heads in the world. Three were Russian, five were German, and two were English. The Russians and the Germans, they led the world in health technology. A lot of the other countries copied the technology. But they innovated the technology, the Germans and the Russians. And so I used those machines for nearly 30 years. And we had a very successful practice. We moved into Orewa House, and we were there for 22 years. And I had three practitioners, two other nurses that we trained, and so there were three senior practitioners. And we trained a few young ones as well along the way, and it was wonderful. Beautiful place to work and be right at the head of Orewa Beach in the big old historic house, Orewa House. Yes,
I've been there numerous times, yes.
Yes, beautiful.
with this Professor Voll. Is it Voll?
Voll, V-O-L-L.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Professor Voll. We were moving into a realm where we all started to understand that we were energy fields and that humanity, a lot of people would see us as cells in this magnificent body, but in actual fact we're a subatomic energy field.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is where everything's going now. Energy healing is realizing that, yes, we have a body with a soul, but this body oscillates at a particular frequency, and the better or the sooner we can lift that frequency up, the closer it gets to light.
Absolutely.
And so this is where you come in as a healer. I know you've got a huge clientele of satisfied and very happy human beings in this country.
Most of them, I hope.
Well, we trust, always, yes. Because setbacks do happen through all sorts of circumstances,
yes,
but at heart, naturally, we're all here to make sure or do our best for the human species.
Yes, absolutely. And so that was the EAV. And then in 2008, they computerized. And now that computerized version scans every cell of the body, and it scans every chemical that you've come in contact with over your lifetime, any emotional problems that have affected your health, only things that need to be rectified. And so it's all done by frequency. It's phenomenal.
It is. The new technologies that are coming on. I mean, there used to be the Rife machine too, which was another early rendition of vibratory.
It was. I never felt comfortable with the Rife machine in New Zealand, because people were going off and building Rife machines, you know. Rife himself was a genius, and he was also an intuitive. And so he did some absolutely brilliant healing. But I don't think anybody in New Zealand was doing it the way Rife would have done it. So I left Rife completely alone. But this machine, this new version of the bioenergy machine, has a Rife segment in it, which I totally ignored and didn't use for many years. And then I suddenly realized, well, this is not my opinion about the Rife frequencies. This is the body being tested for what frequencies it needs. So the Rife frequencies I now use as part of, it's a small part of the treatment.
Mm.
But if those frequencies come up and match for the person, then that's fine, because it's not my opinion.
Very good. And so we have these machines that interface with the intuition of the healer. And this is a very important aspect, mm-hmm. isn't it? Because
it is.
If your healer is really aligned with higher purpose, then everything can work out well, providing the patient who needs the healing has the intent or the intention
Absolutely.
To want to heal.
Yes, intention is a huge part. And that intention is very much a part of the healing process. But because we never advertised our services, we had three practitioners, well, more than three usually, practitioners working at Oriwa House, never advertised once because it was all word of mouth. So the people who were coming already had a feeling for the fact that what they were coming to, you know, they weren't coming off an advert or something and didn't understand anything about energy healing. So we had a good audience to start with because it was all referred.
And this is the best way too. This
absolutely.
Is definitely.
Absolutely is. Yes, it is.
Yes. And you are now presently down in the South Island.
I am, as of November last year. I've always wanted to live in the South Island. We bought a beautiful old 1860s Omaru stone beautiful house down there, which has been in two flats for a long time. So we're now in the process of making it back into one house, and we love it down there. We just love the town. We love the people. Everybody's so friendly and helpful and lovely, beautiful. I also have a daughter there who they call her an icon of Omaru and a national living treasure. So when I'm there, the wizard bows to me in the street and knocks his pointy hat off on the pavement. No, it's all good fun. There's a lot of fun down there.
Yes.
And people enjoy life in a way. We sing and do all sorts of things down there that are wonderful. Mm. It's a small community, you know.
Well, this is a gift.
Mm, it is.
When you get a small community, you know your neighbours again.
You do.
Yes. And the initiative that's come out of Omaru is to you is a shining, I don't know, example of shifting the frequency via a song. Is that right?
It is. I was inspired to Well, my passion has always been to, because I'm a frequency practitioner now, I mean, we call it frequency practitioner, frequency medicine. I've always been passionate about raising the frequency. And a few years ago, when we had all the atrocities going on, you know, in other parts of the world, I thought, well, what I could do is write a song. So I was inspired to write it, and I was waking up at 5:30 every morning with words, peaceful words, and I just wrote all the words down and then started to formulate them into a song. But I had no idea about songwriting and didn't realize that you only had so many verses and it only needed should be only so many minutes long and all that sort of thing. And so I wrote the song, Peace to the World, it's called, and it was six verses, which was far too long. And nobody was interested in a song that went on for 6 minutes because apparently our...
Attention
span is only four at maximum.
It's been getting worse every yes. year, regrettably. This is technology.
And then my lovely friend Lorna here was here from Vancouver. I met Lorna, 16 years ago, Lorna?
Okay, now yeah. I'm going to have to jump in here. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners, Lorna Eastman is here with us. She's quietly sitting in the background. She's backstage lighting for this little interview.
Yes.
And so you can tell us a little bit about Lorna.
Yes. Well, Lorna came over to New Zealand 16 years ago, was it, Lorna? And Lorna suffered from major migraine headaches in those days. And so with the help of another healer that was at Oruru House, he was a cranial osteopath, and myself, we sorted Lorna's migraine headaches out, which were horrible. And so we become extremely good friends, and Lorna got a caravan down the end of Oruru Beach, and her and her husband stayed there. And this is 16 years ago, the caravan's still there, and it's still in one piece. And she's back again every year, and we spend some really quality time together. It's wonderful. So, and Lorna in herself is a wonderful creative lady and is doing some wonderful work with the Aboriginal people in North America. And
First Nations.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman, this one.
Well, I'm going to quickly ask you to say just a couple of words. You're going to have to lean right over into it, and I'm just going to say, kia ora, Lorna. Thank you for coming to New Zealand and wanting to share again, because sharing and collaborating and cooperating, working together is the new impulse for all our planetary civilization at the moment. I still believe in the grand reconciliation of the human race.
Thank you. And kia ora, and thank you to New Zealand for the lovely welcome that we have here. It's just so lovely to be here and to be part of this community. We call it the Unity Community, and we co-create all the time. And Philemma and I had a wonderful road trip about the time that she was writing her song. And the words just kept coming to us and playing in our minds. And we'd be driving along the road, as you know how that goes. And these words keep coming through. And we just kept fine-tuning it, didn't we, Philemma?
Excellent. Oh, well, that's wonderful. Yes, that's just a little...
A lovely collaboration between the two of us. It was wonderful.
Yes, well, I'll leave it up to you to carry on this collaboration so that we can... Because this is leading to something really profound in the world stage, isn't it?
Well, that would be wonderful if it did, because the words we speak and the words we think, and more importantly, what we feel, has a huge impact on how we are in our health and in our happiness and in our relationships. And so the words of the song were all frequency of each individual word. Now we've got them into four verses, which is acceptable. And as serendipity happens, through another one of my clients, I was introduced to Cameron Barclay, who's one of the 10 tenors. Beautiful, beautiful man, beautiful, beautiful voice. And he sung, and he agreed to sing the song for me, which was a huge honor, because it was lovely to have a quality singer like that. Because I did have an Australian female vocalist that sang it, but she used her own style, and you couldn't actually hear clearly the words. Cameron, you can hear every syllable of the words, and so those frequencies are so clear, and those healing frequencies, the more they're played out in the world, the more it uplifts the energy, or the frequency, or whatever you like to call it. So the song is an important part for me right now in my old 75 years. And now that we've got into the finals of the Global Peace Awards, that's a pretty nice thing to happen, pretty exciting thing to happen. And so the next stage of that is the public voting. So that is done on Facebook. I believe you don't have to have a Facebook account to be able to vote. But what we have is a link that we can link people to. So if people wanted to hear the song, I think you're going to play it, aren't you? But
we're definitely going to play it. Most probably play it towards the end.
Yes, yes.
And, but you've still got a lot of story around it, haven't you?
Well, yes, there's a lot of stuff going on around that. And for the greater good, which is the peace to the world, if we can really do well with this next phase of the competition, which is the public voting, and they call it the reach, which I presume is the reach out into the different parts of the world, then there's not, it's not prize money, but it is a recording studio time. So I hope Cameron's not listening right now, but I haven't told him yet, but that's going to be his prize, because he would like to do something more meaningful with his life. And so I've suggested to him that the Peace Foundation, or teaching, being an ambassador for the internationally for the Peace Foundations, and teaching the teachers, because they have a program for conflict resolution that they teach in the schools, which is wonderful program.
Thousands and thousands of schools have this program, have been introduced to this program. The Peace Foundation here in Auckland.
Yes, yes.
Has done wonderful things over so many years.
Yes, yes.
And this is one of New Zealand's high points, actually, for taking a syllabus into schools for conflict resolution and to enable the children to find a way through their conflict to make sure that we resolve all these problems that we have. And usually it's because of a choice of bad words.
Yes, yes. And the children is where it starts from. And the interesting thing is that the children go home and teach their parents about conflict resolution. So it has a huge rippling effect. We're hoping that that can be very much a part of the song and part of that international, perhaps, taking that into more countries. Because Cameron, of course, speaks 5, 6, 7, 8 languages, so... Because they have to, because they sing their songs in German and Italian and French and all over the world. So he's got all that skill, which could be used greatly, in my opinion.
Very true, because the 10 tenors, they've got out into the world, they've done their best to add different languages to uplift the whole of society.
Yes, yes,
yes.
So that's another section of it. So that's why I'm encouraging people to vote for the song. It's not about me. It's about those rippling effect of the of it going out through the world, through the peace resolution, the conflict resolution, perhaps, program. That may be a very good way to take it through. So, yes, exciting.
Yes. Well, these waves that go out continuously, like from this broadcast, within a few hours, they're on the other side of Saturn. I mean, it's quite profound how vibrational sound and medicine are all interlinked.
They are, exactly.
Yes. And Paula Feather is also involved.
Yes. Well, Paula Feather's a client of mine as well. I've got some wonderful clients in every type of profession you can imagine. And Paula came up, she rang me one Saturday morning, and she said, because I'd given her the words to the song, and we were talking about, she's a little songwriter herself too.
That's right.
And so she was drumming away on her guitar, and she rang me and said, oh, I've got a very simple little tune, music for your song. Perhaps I should come up and let you hear it. So she drove up to, we were in Mangawai in those days, and we spent the day together and singing away together, and that was the basis of the music. And then Mike McCarthy of Manuka Studios, who is a brilliant recording man, he recorded it and put all the music together and the whole arrangement, and it is a beautiful backing. I mean, the backing tune itself, the backing music itself, is an artwork.
So the basis of this Peace to the World song has come through from other people who have shown up at the right time.
At the right time. Yes. Well, I believe in miracles, and my favourite expression is, be realistic, expect a miracle. And it happens. You know? It happens all the time. And I just love that. I love being aware of the little things that happen throughout the day, and you think, wow, you know, these things happen, don't they, when we're aligned, as you say.
This is so true, and I, you know, all I want to do is share with the listeners, this can happen for all of us.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the imperative is to have our intention focused on the good.
Yes, and if we collectively can have good thoughts and good feelings, the feelings are what produce the goods, But we can change our own lives, but we can also have quality relationships. And miracles can happen because we're in the flow of energy. And we can all, and collectively, imagine if we're all thinking good thoughts and love and peace, and that's what the song's about, of course. Imagine that intention going out into the world. It could have huge impact.
I'm very much in agreement with you. Yeah, completely. Because I was in the nuclear free movement.
Okay.
And there was a 100th monkey song, actually, that came out, yes. And the song told the story that if we all work together, we will break through a critical mass. When a certain amount of monkeys think a certain thought, then we will push this thought over the threshold and will cascade over the whole region. And we were looking at, naturally, that the whole world would become a nuclear-free planet.
Yes.
And
yes,
we still hold that. I still hold that thought.
I love the story of the 100th monkey, because my understanding was that the monkeys, the grandmother monkey, went down to the water and she washed her fruit in the water, on the water's edge of the lake. And then the family started washing their fruit at the lake. And then on another island, totally unrelated, totally no connection physically with this island, other monkeys on the island started washing their fruit. And that's where the 100th monkey comes in. The 100th monkey, then that information is out there for the world. And, yeah.
Yes, well, it's always a fantastic metaphor for change.
Yes.
And I would trust that New Zealand rises to the occasion, and the fact that we have now got a well-being index in our country, that Jacinda Ardern and the new government are wanting to add this so that we can, shall we say, test the numbers of all New Zealanders to see if we are happy, mm-hmm. to see if the well-being of the community and the larger community is making a better world, so to speak. And I think Bhutan followed this up many years ago, but there has been no other country doing that. Well, this is just another measure of how we live together as family and community and a country. So mm-hmm. let's share peace to the world. So from a planetary perspective, we have 7.7 billion human beings coming to a deeper peace within themselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Imagine there is heaven above that we call universal love, and there is nothing here that divides us. All people living in peace this way, our children free to laugh and play, in peace and light a joyous hallelujah. A joyous hallelujah. Feel the magic of love we share, the sun, the moon, and stars out there, and our galactic family reunited. Love is the key to open our heart with gratitude. A major part, combining our love in a gracious hallelujah. 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 Combining our love in a gracious hallelujah. A place to be where all the world has been set free, hearts and souls have come to be united. With water pure and crystal clear, and food for all from earth so dear, together we sing a heartfelt hallelujah.
Fantastic. What a recording. Fantastic, Val.
Well, as I say, miracles happen. You know, we got Cameron to sing the song. We had Mike to arrange and produce it. And the finished article is pretty good, isn't it?
It's superb. It's right up there. Right up there.
It was a collaborative effort. And my lovely friend here, Lorna, and other people that were involved in, as we say, Paula Feather, who produced the original tune, the original music. And then it was a whole collaboration of people, which was wonderful.
I await, gladly await, mainstream media in New Zealand taking this on. Yes.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be wonderful. They could play it in Parliament next year when it starts again.
Well, the more it's played, the more people will be uplifted by it. And, yeah, so.
I'm speaking with Val Wright, who's an energy and frequency healer, on the new song that she has penned that is called Peace to the World. And at the end of this program, I will leave the link.
It's wonderful that we've had this opportunity to say thank you, Tim.
Yes, yes, well, it's I'm so pleased that it all just came, flowed easily through another friend, Vivian Wright.
Yes, another Wright.
And the fact that my mother was a writer as well,
yes,
way back.
And Vivian's a great enthusiast, as you know, and she loves the song, so she was the one that contacted you, I think.
Ah, very good, very good. Mm. Oh, well, so now, what are the next steps, please?
Well, now that it's got into the finals for the Global Peace Awards, the next stage of that is the public vote. So if people like the song and they would like to vote for it, it is going to mean that the next stage will be the ripples from that. So it's the number of likes and the reach that it has. So I've got clients all over the world and they've all got it now. And I have no shame about sending it to them.
Yeah, yes.
Because the next stage is where it goes to that public vote, and then it will have some major effects if we can get it into the schools with that peace resolution program. So that's where we're hoping to go with it, so that we have ambassadors here who go into different countries and teach the conflict resolution and training the trainers for the conflict resolution. So whether that's Cameron or somebody like Cameron, we don't quite know yet, but that's where we want it to go, to the children, because that's where our future lies.
So true. Oh, yes. I mean, just imagine if they could play that at assembly every morning before they go to class.
Mm. Well, some of my clients say that if they play the song a couple of times in the morning before they go to work, they have it really sets them up, their energy up for the day. And then I have one lady who rang me and said she goes home in the evening and she pours herself a glass of wine and puts her feet up and puts on the song, and she said all the cares of the day have disappeared. Don't know if it's the wine or the song.
Well, that's always problematic.
But anyway, it's used in different ways, but everybody says that it does help their energy and makes them feel better.
Well, it's about setting the tone, really, isn't
it? That's correct, yeah, absolutely. And the tone is the frequency, so it's setting that tone.
Yes. Oh, good. Well, can you tell us some more story in relationship to this? Can you add any more to this wonderful little production and what you're doing, what you're trusting your future will unfold for you?
Well, I do trust that. I totally trust that, that whatever comes my way will be the right thing. And that's how we come to be in Oamaru now. That was absolutely trusting that that was the right thing to do. And I just love it there. Absolutely love it. Love the people, love the place. But, I mean, I have many, many stories, but some of them I can't talk about on radio.
Well, now you've got people more intrigued.
Well, I've had a very, very interesting life, right from being a child. We were brought up in England, and my father was a bit of an entrepreneur, and we travelled around England a lot. And so we never really put roots down in England. And my father, when on my 10th birthday, he bought me a corgi dog, because I thought I was the Queen of England, you see. Now I know I'm the Queen of England, because I've got a corgi. But then when we came to New Zealand, we couldn't bring the corgi, because it was a 9-month quarantine. And so that broke my heart, but we had to come to New Zealand. And we came to New Zealand and left the corgi with our neighbour. They had a wonderful connection, this corgi and my elderly neighbour. If there was a thunderstorm coming, the corgi would go up to her door, and with a little short waggy tail, she'd knock on the door. And they'd go and jump in bed together till the thunderstorm was over, and then she'd come home. She was an amazing little dog. Anyway, my promise from my parents was that if I would come to, because I ran away from home because I was so heartbroken, and not being able to bring my corgi. Anyway, they promised me a horse. So that was really a big thing for me. I had a fall off that horse, and I had an out-of-body experience. And I went to another realm. I mean, I didn't know I was dead to start with. Little orange huts that the road workers had their lunch in. It was a windy day, and one of the plastic bags flew out of the tent over the horse's head, and she reared. She would never have bucked me off, but she reared in fright, and I fell and hit my head. I had a crash helmet on, but underneath my crash helmet on the sharp edge of the concrete curbing. And with that, you know, they ran off to get local farm to get the ambulance and da-da-da-da. Anyway, once I realised I was dead, the only thing that I could think of was I wouldn't see my dear brother again, who Lorna knows well, my brother in Vancouver. So with that thought, I arrived in the front room of their home. And there was a lovely scene. My sister-in-law is quite a famous artist, and she was cooking dinner and painting at the same time. And my brother had one baby in those little bouncer net things that you used to push with your feet, and a high chair, and he was feeding one, da-da-da-da.
So you witnessed all this?
I witnessed all this.
And where were they actually? What country were they in?
In Canada.
They were in Canada at that time?
At that time, good. Yes. And so I was there, and I thought, they don't even, you know.
See me.
I was most upset. Yes. Anyway, but once I realised that he was really happy, that was really all I needed. And so then I was back into my body again and in the ambulance on the way to hospital. So that was a huge thing for me, that experience, because it made me realise that we're not just this body and living on the planet. We are much more than that, and we have a magnificent body outside of that, because all the books that have been written about out-of-body experiences all say the same thing. They say that you go up this tunnel of light, and it was magnificent. The colour is indescribable,
The sound too?
I don't remember sound. I just remember colour.
Silence was there.
It was silence. But at the top, two little ears poking up. My little corky dog. Waiting for me. But with getting halfway up that light tunnel, then I suddenly felt pressure and I was being pushed back down again. And that's when I was back into my body.
You see, this is very important, and I've been involved with this most of my life.
Have you
too?
Really?
Yes. Our body is just a, shall we say, a vehicle to carry our soul essence around and do what we need to do to actually realize we come from essentially God. And it's where we need to actually spend more time understanding near-death and out-of-the-body experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many books in relationship to now, and we've even got atheistic doctors who have had out-of-the-body experiences to then all of a sudden become really spiritual in that moment.
That's right.
From then on. And Raymond Moody and Ken Ring and have been great starters of the fact that we are far more than our physical body.
Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful book being written recently, and it's called Dying to Be Me. I don't know whether you've come across that yet.
I've come across it, but I haven't read it.
No. It's a lady who went through death from cancer and went into that next realm, as I've been explaining. This is it here. Dying to Be Me. Dying to Be Me, mm-hmm. And her name is Anita Morjani, is it?
Yes.
Morjani?
Yes. Bruce Lipton also speaks of her.
Okay. And the foreword was by Wayne Dwyer. And beautiful book. Explains all that about that experience of realizing that her body was just the vehicle and that anything could be healed. And she went, the doctors had called in the family, she only had hours to live. And the book was given to me by John Appleton, who's a really good man. And it tells the story of how she then went through her healing process and is now completely clear of cancer.
I know, it's such a wonderful story.
Yes.
It's actually quite profound. I found myself in a situation where I had to go on stage with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Oh my gosh, yes, I met her while she was here.
Yeah, in Auckland. And she had sold out the Auckland Town Hall, 1,600 people, and she told fantastic stories.
Yes.
Because she had interviewed 20,000 people who had near-death and out-of-the-body experiences.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful.
And so this is, I think, the imperative, Val, is for people to take an in-breath and reflect on and dwell on the fact that we are far more than we ever thought, and it's time for the human race to come together.
Absolutely.
And awaken to this magnificent life that we're having.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so that's where the song comes in, as far as bringing people together to hear those frequencies. And
yes, yes.
So, Tim, I'd like to share some of my tools that I've found to be really, really helpful with people in the past. So one is a gratitude decree, which I think is a lovely thing to do each morning. So if I can just read it to you.
Certainly.
I am so happy and grateful for my beloved I Am presence and the universal power within that fills my consciousness, mind and body, so that all the miraculous aspects of my life are manifesting perfectly now and always. For the abundance of love to give and receive with family and friends, clients and all who bless and enrich my life, past, present and future. For perfect health and functioning of my beautiful body that serves me so well, with abundant energy, vitality, rejuvenation throughout my healthy life. For the abundance of fulfillment and success in all that I do now and always, both personally and in service. For the abundance of Mother Earth and her beauty that surrounds us, supplying us with nutritious food, water, and keeps our body healthy. For the abundance of beauty and peace and tranquility within my home sanctuary. And for the ongoing flow of money into my life with comfort and ease. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so it is.
Well, gratitude and thankfulness. Boy.
Yes, and forgiveness. Yeah. Forgiveness as well. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I love random acts of kindness.
Absolutely.
And also paying it forward.
Uh-huh, yes.
I just embed these in my being.
Yes.
And do you have something else?
Well, there is another one that is a wonderful healing one, particularly for personal relationships and that sort of thing. It comes from the Hawaiian kahuna, deep healing and transformation. So the kahuna say that in the Western world, we don't give ourselves enough self-love. So this is how they do it and how they teach us to do it. So there's two paragraphs. One is for the self. I'm sorry, forgive me, I love you, just to yourself. Nobody else needs to know. They say divine creator, father, mother, child is one, just meaning that we're all one and all equal. If I, Vilema, have offended against myself, my family, relatives and ancestors, in thoughts, words, deeds and actions, from the beginning of my creation to the present, I ask for forgiveness. Let this process cleanse, purify and release all negative memories, emotions, blocks and energies, and transmute these unwanted vibrations into pure light. It is done. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, if there's another individual in your life that you want, maybe a father or a mother or a sibling or a husband or a wife or an ex-husband or whatever, and you want to heal that relationship in any way, I'm sorry, forgive me, I love you, because we're part of that relationship. Divine creator, father, mother, child is one. If I, Vilema, my family, relatives, or ancestors have offended you, and you put the person's name in there, your family, relatives, or ancestors, in thought, word, deed, or action, from the beginning of our creation to the present, we ask for forgiveness. Let this process cleanse, purify, and release all negative memories, emotions, blocks, and energies, and transmute these unwanted vibrations into pure light. It is done. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So that one is to release and subdue any bad energies or frequencies that might be around from a relationship of some sort. So it's a really wonderful healing. And then there's another one, which is a more general one. But these two are very, very useful where people are going through trauma emotionally with family or relationships.
Why can't they get a copy of that?
If anybody wants to email me, we can just email a copy to them.
Fine.
I mean, I have a beautiful story, but we won't go into that now, about an elderly lady that used this and healed a relationship 25 years with a daughter who she hadn't seen for 25 years. And this was all she did differently. So it's a really wonderful way. The kahuna have this wonderful way to do it. And there's a book written by the kahunas about the prisons, I think, in Hawaii, isn't there?
Yes, I had a friend who worked in the prisons on Kauai. Yeah. You have one small other one, did you?
We have another one.
Or have you got a couple of... Yes.
No, this is an affirmation, which I've used for many years. This is how I met my husband of present time.
You better be quick.
I am now ready and willing to receive more love and support than I ever thought possible, as I know I deserve a happy, healthy, fulfilling, abundant life for me now. Whatever I desire, I deserve, and it is flowing to me now from an unlimited supply in the universe. There is no circumstance, situation, or disability that I cannot transform, for I have the power within me for the benefit of all concerned.
Lovely. Well, thank you, Val, for coming, showing up with your gifts and your vibes.
And our lovely Lorna.
And Lorna, too. So, yes, peace to the world.
So, just if people want to vote for the song, then all they have to do is email me at vilema@extra. vilema@extra. vilema@extra.co.nz. And we will forward them the link to where the song is in the Global Peace Awards.
Well, once again, thank you, Val. Thank you for supporting and driving her, Lorna. We look forward to the frequency of love being expressed through Peace to the World. Thank you.
Thank you. Really, really appreciate your welcoming energy and understanding.
Lovely. Thanks again,
thank
Val.
You. Thank you.
That was Vilema, or Val Wright, and his song, Peace to the World.
Imagine there is heaven above that we call universal love, and there is nothing here that divides us. All people living in peace this way, our children free to laugh and play, in peace and light a joyous hallelujah. Of love we share, the sun, the moon. moon and stars out there, and our galactic family reunited. Love is the key to open our heart, with gratitude a major part, combining our love in a gracious hallelujah. Hallelujah. In a gracious hallelujah. Imagine this a place to be, where all the world has been set free. Hearts and souls have come to be united. With water pure and crystal clear, and food for all from earth so dear, together we sing a heartfelt hallelujah.
Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send, and remember, even Facebook, to tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the Spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it, spread it, radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies. But of 7.6 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Mueller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 400 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to, and become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. This is Tim Lynch.
And Lisa Eyre.
And Liz Gunn.
in the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say Kia kaha and haere ura.